No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Manouk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts now.
Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. For all those joining us live this evening on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. With Dave Manouk, with Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel, here to discuss the Winnipeg Jets' victory tonight. Something we haven't said all too often as of late. Victory over the Tampa Bay Lightning by a 7-4 margin. Gentlemen, this is not a game, a result, a score, an outcome that I saw coming entering tonight's contest, particularly after the listless effort that the Jets put forth on Sunday against the New York Rangers. But full marks to the hometown team. They keep their slim playoff hopes a little bit more alive for at least another game with a resounding defeat of the Lightning. Good to see you both.
What's going on, boys? I think, you know, when you consider the stakes here, it's a pretty impressive victory. And yeah, it was a little bit weird in terms of, you know, you had the 6 goals in the first period and then none in the second. And then obviously, you know, you had some more goals in the third period. But Andrei Vasilevskiy, a rare kind of off night for him, guys. Like, obviously, you know, you're not going to blame him completely for the loss. But I don't know about you guys, but I thought he might get pulled after the Paul Stastny goal was awful. Yeah, I mean, you absolutely have to stop that. Neil Pionk, you know, makes a nice play there, but that's just an awful goal. So again, yeah, give Jets a lot of credit. You know, they came out really focused tonight and, you know, they were firing on all cylinders, but they obviously, you know, didn't make it easy on themselves, you know, blowing a 2-goal lead twice in the first period. But overall, guys, like, you know, for a team that, you know, has been struggling to score goals a little bit here on this homestand, really nice to see a goal explosion. Really liked, you know, the power play goal from Pierre-Luc Dubois in the third period. He obviously draws the penalty and then just really aggressive. And you saw Andrei Vasilevskiy break his stick after Dubois scored. So, yeah, pretty impressive win for a team that needs it. And, you know, it remains to be seen if this win's going to mean anything, because we know that, you know, with this 3-game road trip coming up, you know, you really have to win all 3 games in order for it to really be successful.
Yes, I'd agree with that assessment, Dave. M, you are in the building tonight, as you often are for the Winnipeg Jets games. More often than not, you're there, of course. And I mean, you know, the first period was a barn burner, let's say. And then the Jets, I thought, really did a very good job playing sort of fundamental defensive hockey for the final 40 minutes of this game. And if you would have told me that after the first period, when it ended 3-3, the Jets were going to be the team that is able to lock things down more than the Lightning, I would have asked, I would have wanted to see what was in your drink cup to make sure that it wasn't an alcoholic beverage.
Some variety of Seagram's drink, perhaps, Drew. A little bit of Fireball.
Yeah.
Look, you know, so far, the Jets are 2-0 when they have unique anthems being sung. And on Gender Equality Day, I actually thought they did a phenomenal job having all 4 women who generally sing the national anthems here in Winnipeg singing together. I thought they actually sounded phenomenal, and they did a really, really nice job. And obviously, as you would from his Hockey Manitoba ties would know, you know, Jocelyn Larocque being honored with the ceremonial puck drop. That was a nice touch. You can see the players watching the gold medal game. They were showing it up on the video screen before she came out. So that was kind of a nice touch to get the game going. And look, Drew, that was in the period, first period that anyone could have predicted, right? I mean, that was not, I mean, the game itself was bizarre because you went from, as he just discussed, just a very good, like not very good from a goaltending perspective, but very unusual first period to just a mundane second period where, you know, it really wasn't very exciting to that third period, right? It was a lot of chaos, somewhat reminiscent of that Montreal game. But you know, the Jets, again, did what they needed to do, which is, you called it, this was an absolutely must win. And you really couldn't afford to end this homestand. I mean, it was, you end up with 5 out of the 8 points.
Yeah.
You know, again, better than being only 3 of 8. it's not ideal, but at least it's 5-8. You're putting yourself into the conversation. Now, teams that you need to lose, they're going to turn it around a little bit, right? The Minnesota's, I know Nashville and Dallas, when I last checked, it was 0-0. I don't know how that ended up, but.
Dallas won. Dallas okay. won in regulation, which is obviously what you want in that instance. Right. Pardon me, Nashville won in regulation. Nashville won 2-1 in regulation. So okay. they leapfrogged Dallas in the playoff standings. The Stars move into the second playoff spot. The Predators move back into the first playoff spot. So the Jets do gain a point. They entered the night 8 points behind the out of the last playoff spot. They're now 7 points out of the last playoff spot as a result of today's action. Anaheim, last I saw, they were getting pounded by the Blackhawks. It was 4-0 last I saw. I'm not sure what the up. Pardon me. It's now 7-3 Chicago over Anaheim. So the Blackhawks are doing the Jets a favor on the out of town scoreboard. And the Minnesota Wild finally got back to their winning ways. They beat the New York Rangers 5-2 tonight. But the Wild are in the third playoff spot in the Central Division. So at least what the Jets wanted tonight, they didn't want it to be a 3-point game between Dallas and Nashville. And they got their wish there in that it wasn't a 3-point game with the Predators winning in regulation.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just think that, you know, this was a must, as he described it, and he's not wrong. You had to win this game, and it wasn't going to be an easy one because Tampa Bay came in with an even better winning percentage than the New York Rangers, who looked like, you know, they were going to mop the floor with the Jets. So it didn't look good for the Jets coming against a Lightning team that had won 4 straight games and was very good on, and is, sorry, very good on the road. So all in all, I mean, it's an impressive victory, and I mean, it's a must-needed one to, like as you said, to be able to try and generate some good feelings, get yourself onto the road with a little bit of a little hope. I mean, you still have a significant uphill climb, but you know, without this win, you know, we can only imagine. Let me tell you, without this win, we'd already be talking trade deadline.
Yeah, exactly. Now we can shift we can move that talk back a little bit. We'll still talk trade deadline, of course, but it's not as prevalent as it would be if there was a loss tonight. You know, you got a big series upcoming this weekend. You got 3 and 4 dates. You know, New Jersey and the Islanders, the Devils are playing better hockey. They won tonight as well, which makes it, I believe, 3 in a row for the Devils. They beat the Colorado Avalanche. So the New Jersey Devils, I mean, they're not going to be a playoff team, obviously, but they're playing some better hockey. The Islanders, well, we know that the Islanders have traditionally been a tough
team. And Drew, by the way, they were down like 3-0. So impressive game by New Jersey.
There you go. Exactly. So New Jersey's playing better hockey. They have the Jets, have the Islanders as well. And then they have the Central Division, second team in the Central Division, the St. Louis Blues, a team the Jets have had some success against this year. You know, so it's a very interesting 3 and 4 nights coming up. But before we look ahead to that, we look to today's goals and we do the game recap. It's brought to you by our friends at Betway, newest sponsor here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We welcome aboard Betway, one of the most trusted voices in sports betting, both in Canada and all around the world. Betway is the sports betting app that puts you, the customer, at the forefront with a large selection of betting options and sports, as well as strong promotions and fair odds. What are you waiting for? Head on over to Betway and bet your way. Must be 19 years or older to play. Please play responsibly. I wonder how many people in the audience, how many Jets fans went over to Betway to lay a bet when the Jets were up 2-0, and then when they were up 3-1 and they saw Tampa Bay trying to crawl their way back into this game, especially when it was 3-3. I wonder how many people laid some odds on the Lightning at that point in time. They obviously would have ended up on the wrong side of the ledger. The Jets were the team to back in today's betting market. Let's get into it. The Jets opened the scoring at the 4:19 mark of the first period. Mark Scheifele, his 21st of the year, assist to Logan Stanley and Nate Schmidt. Good things happen when you get the puck on net. And this was an instance of that. Logan Stanley gets the puck on net. It starts with a nice, you know, Nate Schmidt makes a nice play to begin the sequence. And then Mark Scheifele bangs in the rebound after it looked initially like Stanley may have scored on his initial shot. It hit the post, and then Scheifele gobbles up the rebound to make a 1-0 for Winnipeg, Ezzie.
Yeah, it was just a nice hustle by Nate Schmidt. I think it was Ross Colton who he beat to the puck. And as you mentioned, you know, Scheifele just goes to the net. Vasilevsky gives up too much of a rebound there, and pretty straightforward goal there.
Yeah, exactly right, Dave. And good start for the Jets, though. That's what they needed to do. You know, they, as of late, last few games, they've been getting the first goal. Question is, are they able to, you know, hold it down? And obviously, we know in this first period, they weren't. Didn't end up costing them at the end of the game, but they were able to get the first goal. And then they get the second goal as well, Dave. Adam Lowry, he's on a heater. I mean, certainly, you know, it's a heater for most any player, but it's especially a heater for Adam Lowry. His eighth of the year now. They're coming in waves. Assist to Brendan Dillon and to Nick Ehlers on this one. And Lowry sort of just gets lost by the Lightning. They're puck watching and they leave Lowry alone. And he gets two chances and deposits the second one behind Andre Vasilevsky.
Yeah, and it's, I wrote about this in on the Allele Curve Twitter. It's absolutely necessary for the Jets to get that kind of scoring production from the third line. And it's what we've been talking about all season long. And you're not going to have any level of success without Adam Lowry contributing. And so now he's got four goals in six games. Can't ask for much more from number 17. I mean, that's exactly why he gets a lot of ice time, is because there's an expectation he's going to produce. So he's meeting that expectation. And again, it's been a rough season, but he can really turn things around both personally and for the team if he can kind of continue that level of production. It won't be easy, but you know what? Like I said, it's amazing what happens when you have a guy like Nikolaj Ehlers. Helps create on that line. He can create some time and space for guys like Andrew Kopp and Adam Lowry. And so, yeah, it's a huge goal for him. And it was a huge goal for it was such a momentum generator in the crowd. The crowd was buzzing a little bit tonight. Maybe Tuesday's Tuesday nights. Maybe it's the new thing. It's going to be Vegas next weekend. Or next Tuesday. So we'll see what it's like. But yeah, it just seemed like there was a bit of a buzz. And as soon as Lowry scored, the crowd got into it. You know, the first goal, you're like, okay, you know, that's good, but this is the two-time defending Stanley Cup champions. Then all of a sudden, Lowry scores to make it 2-0, and that made it feel a little more festive inside Canada Life. So you could kind of get the crowd into it, and that was big, I thought, for a lot of reasons.
Can you confirm or deny that you were the reason the fire alarm went off at the start of the third period in the arena? There's a lot of chatter online that you were personally responsible for that. Can you confirm or deny?
That would be erroneous because as most people would know, I had already left the building to make it back in time for the postgame show. So I, like everyone else,
yes,
heard it on the television, not in the building.
It's not even, you have more than just plausible deniability. You have actual deniability.
Ask Perry, the security guard. He saw me leave, and a few people actually saw me leave. So I'm good.
There you go. Thank you. Important. Thank you for clarifying that. Inquiring minds wanted to know. This being the Winnipeg Jets, they weren't able to, you know, keep things in check. They weren't able to sort of tighten things up. Self-inflicted wounds led to a lot of Tampa Bay goals. It started with a very poor turnover by a guy you haven't said that a lot of this year, Pierre-Luc Dubois, with the bad turnover that leads to Ryan McDonagh's third goal of the year, that coming at the 11:50 mark of the first period.
Yeah, it's just a, you know, bad turnover there. Dubois and McDonagh picks it off, and then he obviously, you know, finishes it off as well. So a team that, you know, gets a lot of offense from the defense, and, you know, that got the Lightning back in this game. And obviously there was another turnover on the 3-2 goal there, but yeah, that was just ill-advised pass by Dubois there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's the kind of pass that's not going to work at this level of hockey. I mean, there's just, especially against the Lightning, you know, it's just got too good on defense. He's trying to hit a forward cutting up the ice, and there's just not a play there to be made, really. The simple play was the better choice in that instance. And, you know, when you do that to Tampa Bay, I mean, I don't think I need to tell anybody in the chat or anybody who's listening to this on the podcast after just how good the Tampa Bay Lightning are and how quickly they can make you pay, because it's almost as soon as McDonagh picked off that pass, it seemed like it was in the back of the Jets net seconds later with the completing the 2-on-1 with Matthew Joseph. And it's 2-1 for the Jets at that point in time. The Jets get it back real quick. So good for them in that first period. You mentioned this goal earlier, Paul Stastny, his 16th of the year. He's really having it's an underrated good season for how many goals this guy is getting. You know, Stastny's going to, you know, it's been a while since he's, you know, hit, you know, over 20 goals in a season, and he's going to get it this year after getting his 16th and 17th tonight, of course. But Paul Stastny gets his 16th of the year.
assist to Neil Pionk and Mark Scheifele. And this is a uncharacteristic goal that Andrei Vasilevsky lets in. To your point, Ezzy, I would not have been surprised if they had pulled him after this goal goes in, because it's just a softy as soft can be.
Yeah, I mean, sorry, I think you're going to me.
Go for it.
No, go ahead, Dave.
No, I was just going to say, like, look, one of the things that we need to be talking about is Paul Stastny. We spent so much time focused on, you know, Kyle Connor, Pierre-Luc Dubois, the seasons they're having. I mean, Paul Stastny is doing something he hasn't done since he was, you know, at least, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago, is getting up to that, you know, upper 20s. I mean, he's got 17 right now, but it's not unrealistic to expect him to get to that mark. I mean, he hit 28 in his first season with Colorado back in, I think it was 2006, 2007.
It's a long time ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. He had 25, I think, with, you know, a few years back. Again, I think it was with Colorado. But Stastny is look, he had 17 2 years ago with Vegas in 71 games. And now he's got 17 in like 54 or whatever it is. So I agree with that. Some people are saying, you know, you're driving up his value. Well, if that's the case, maybe they are. Maybe the Jets are going to get a little more for him, because he's looking reborn, and he really is producing at a level. And sure, you might not like the goal, but at the end of the day, sometimes you forget how good that goal looked or how good that was. And they just remember, they look at the stats and they say, oh, Paul Stastny has 17 goals. Not too shabby at 36 years of age. So I just think he's just, you know, even if it wasn't a good goal, if you watch the play though, it just goes to show you how smart a player he is. Because he finds, like, with everybody in front of Vasilevsky, he finds a spot where he's going to have a little bit of time and space. Puck gets to him and he puts it behind him, right? So, I mean, again, it's not a great goal, but at the same time, it's a credit to Paul Stastny for being able to find a little bit of space in a congested area and get it behind Vasilevsky to give the Jets a 3-1 lead.
Yes, exactly right. I mean, it's not a good goal, but the time and space and his intelligence and his smarts, which are usually on display game after game. He might not always be the most effective player on the ice, but he's usually one of the smartest players on the ice. And you certainly saw that tonight from Paul Stastny. That goal, his first of the game, was his 16th on the season. Again, though, Tampa Bay gets one right back. It takes not long, a minute and 25 seconds later, Alex Killorn gets his 17th of the year, assist to Corey Perry and Steven Stamkos. And again, this is just poor play by the Winnipeg Jets on this one. Too aggressive, not responsible. It starts with a flip by Nate Schmidt. He just sort of flips the puck out of his own zone. Kyle Connor and Pierre-Luc Dubois are both going for a skate. They're putting themselves in a bad position. And the Tampa Bay Lightning, as they transition the puck up the ice so well and so quickly that, you know, you take one false step against them, it's almost like you can't catch up, just, you know, even with the smallest of errors.
Yeah, and on that particular play, Logan Stanley is just a little bit high and unfortunately takes himself out of the play. So, yeah, it was just an unfortunate turnover there.
Yeah, not what you'd want to see. And you look, you know, you just don't like, Connor and Dubois as well, Dave, when you look at the highlights on that one, they're behind the play. And which I mean, like they're almost like you're playing a shinny and they're looking for a breakaway pass. Again, there isn't there's not an opportunity there. You have to be choosy. You have to pick and choose your spots. And they both erred in picking and choosing their spot there. And Tampa Bay makes no mistake. And you, like, as he said, you don't like Logan Stanley's read on the play either. That's not the time to step up. And he steps up I'm not really sure what his approach necessarily was there, but he gets burned at the blue line as well. And it ends up in the back of the net behind Connor Hellebuyck. Again, you know, it's going to be, the numbers look rough for Hellebuyck tonight. You know, he gives up 4 goals on only 24 shots. But in this instance, and what's that now? I think that's the 5th straight game that he's given up at least 4 goals or more, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah. I don't think any of the goals that I wouldn't describe any of the goals as bad goals from the Jets goaltender perspective in tonight's game.
No, I mean, the goal Hedman scored on him was just a phenomenal shot. I mean, he came right down Main Street and just buried it past him. And so, and he made that critical stop on, I think, on Stamkos in the third period when it's 3-3. And I mean, look, Vasilevsky stoned Kyle Connor, he stoned Mark Scheifele. So both goaltenders, despite the fact that I said how often, I think after the first period I tweeted, I don't know how many people anticipated two Vezina winning goaltenders giving up, you know, three goals on 12 shots and one giving three goals on 11. But that's those were the stats after 20 minutes. So neither goaltender was probably particularly happy with the, as you said, Drew, with their numbers. But they both also made a number of quality saves that kept their team in it in different instances. So, look, yeah, it wasn't a great night overall, but from a stats perspective. Mm-hmm. But like I said, you'll take it when you can have those. You know, at the end of the day, all they care about are the 2 points. They're not going to care about their individual numbers.
That's very true. You mentioned the Victor Hedman goal, and it is a tremendous shot. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's such a pleasure to be able to watch Victor Hedman and the way he moves around the ice. And this is his 14th of the year, tied it up at 3-3. So if you're worried about not getting your goals worth in your money's worth in goals in today's game, you got it in your first period alone. 6 goals being scored in the first period. Victor Hedman, his 14th of the year, assisted Nikita Kucherov and Anthony Cirelli. It's a combination of a bad line change for the Jets and then just some tremendously passive play where everybody backs off and they just give, I mean, Victor Hedman walked in from the blue line to basically the hash marks and nobody stepped up. Nobody was anywhere near him. It was sort of a Keystone Cops comical defensive play in the Jets' own zone, which we've seen way too much of this year and over the last number of years. And Victor Hedman is going to score from that opportunity more often than not. And I mean, just a beautiful shot. And I don't know what anybody wants Connor Hellebuck to do on that one there, Ezzy.
Yeah, Scheifele goes to take Kucherov. Cirelli dropped the pass to Kucherov. And then Hedman came and kind of snuck behind Kucherov there. And the cop, I think, was expecting maybe something to come along the boards. And yeah, just way too much time and space. It was Scheifele and Wheeler that came on a fresh line change. And yeah, it was just so much time for Victor Hedman. We know that he's been, you know, burying points for many years now. So, you know, it was an impressive tying goal, but just a little bit too loose in the Jets defensive end.
Yes, I believe that's actually, they've replaced Fueled by Passion with Too Loose in Our Own Zone as the team slogan over the last number of years, I believe. It's a controversial marketing decision, but who am I to criticize? 3-3 after the first period. And then you're thinking to yourself, okay, what is the second period going to bring? You know, which of these two teams is going to be able to find the defensive game that was completely absent in the first period? And I, for one, was certainly shocked that it turned out to be the Winnipeg Jets and not the Tampa Bay Lightning. You know, a boring second period, but I think that's what both teams certainly wanted. They wanted to get back to a more structured approach, a more structured game. And it wasn't for, you know, and that's what you got. And it certainly wasn't for opportunities by the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Winnipeg Jets, for that matter. They did have the 5-on-3 situation in the second period. I'm not sure how Sergachev's penalty, his slashing penalty, wasn't a penalty shot. I mean, Adam Lowry was in on a breakaway, and the ref made the call, albeit he made the call very delayed and a little bit late, but I'm not sure how that wasn't a textbook penalty shot, just another one of the ongoing befuddlements associated with NHL officiating. I don't know if you guys saw it any differently than I did there, Ezzy.
Yeah, I thought it easily could have been a penalty shot, and on that 5-on-3, there was a really good scoring chance from Kyle Connor, and it was a left pad save from Andre Vasilevsky. It looked like Vasilevsky was completely out of play, but because of his size and athleticism, we know that, you know, he can make that save, but that looked like a sure goal for Connor. So that 5-on-3, even though it was brief, I thought the Jets, you know, had some good pressure there. But overall, I mean, that was a pretty well-managed period, I thought, from the Jets. What were the shots? 11-4 or something like that.
11-4,
so exactly. Lightning didn't have much going on there. And I thought that, you know, the Jets, you know, maintained, I thought a, you know, a pretty good offensive attack. And obviously they carried that into the third period.
Yeah, they did carry that into the third period. And that was important because, you know, this Jets team was beginning, as I was watching that first period, Dave, it was reminding me of the Jets team. Remember sort of before Byfuglien really got into shape and became the dominant force, Dustin Byfuglien? You know, remember how loose the Jets were sort of in the first few years of Winnipeg Jets 2.0? That's what you were seeing, I thought, from some of the defensive play that this team had put forth in the last number of games. Just fire wagon hockey, just no structure. And it's, look, don't get me wrong, no structure hockey is fun to watch, but it's not a long-term recipe for success. So it makes you, it does make you a little bit, you know, full of wonder as to how this team can be that poor defensively in the first period and then get that much better for the final 40 minutes when it's just, I mean, it's, remember how many, you know, when was the first time this year I said attention to detail? Because it might have been, you know, in the preseason. It might have been in the first couple games of the year where we talked about the attention to detail was lacking for the Jets at times, or when it, they were succeeding, it was because they had that attention to detail. They didn't have that attention to detail in the first period, but they found it for the final 40, Dave.
Yeah, and look, we've talked about it. You know, scoring goals is important, but at the end of the day, you have to be able to play defensive hockey. And, you know, too often, what's a stat? Connor Hellebuyck has faced the most shots in the NHL this season. Now, he's probably played the most games in the NHL, so it's not a terrible surprise. But, you know, that's not a good stat because that leads to weariness of your goaltender when you're making him face that much rubber. And so there's no question about it that the Jets needed to be tighter because – Tampa Bay is too good. I actually was shocked that their power play is only 15th in the NHL.
It's because hard to believe.
It is. It really is. Like I was looking and I was, you know, I went to look to see what their number was. And I was shocked that it was only 15th because the amount of weapons these guys have on the power play is ridiculous. But at the same time, you just can't afford to make mistakes because even the ones that they didn't score on, they look dangerous. And they really did. And that's why, to your point, Drew, it was one of those games that you were impressed that the Jets were able to lock it down into this. I mean, it was mundane, which is what I said after the period ended, but that's not necessarily a bad thing because you hadn't played a textbook first period. Obviously, you scored the goals, but you gave up the lead. And so whenever you do that, whenever you have that sort of lapse in attention to detail, to steal a Mindell-ism, then, you know, you want to be able to show that you can recover from that and play better. So that's just what the Jets did. And again, that's against the defending Stanley Cup champions. And it wasn't a hiccup, right? Like it wasn't as if these guys came in sputtering. They were coming in feeling good, starting a road trip. So, you know, the Jets do get credit for what they were able to accomplish, especially in the latter part of the game.
Absolutely. Look, I'm digging full marks to the Winnipeg Jets for their victory tonight. And don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to be, you know, I see some people calling me a Debbie Downer or whatever in the chat. And I appreciate that. There might be a little bit of tongue in cheek in that, but don't get me wrong. The Jets get full marks for their victory. They defeated the two-time defending Stanley Cup champions, something I don't think a lot of people would have been able to say or would have expected to say when the ball game began earlier tonight. We say good evening as the top of the hour has come and gone. I say good evening to everybody that's joining us. Welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Drew Mindell, Dave Minuk, Ezra Ginsberg here with you. We're talking about the Jets' 7-4 victory over the Tampa Bay Lightning. If you haven't already done so, smash the like button, subscribe to our YouTube channel, subscribe to the podcast, leave us some comments, let us know what's going on, let us know what you like, let us know what you don't like. We always appreciate the support. We mentioned it was a 3-all game after 40 minutes. The Jets get the all-important, what turned out to be, it wasn't the game-winning goal as it happened, but the all-important lead on Pierre-Luc Dubois' 23rd of the year, assist to Kyle Connor and Josh Morrissey. It comes on the power play, Ezzy, and you mentioned it, and it's just a, you know, go to the front of the net. The Jets had traffic in front of Vasilevsky on this power play. Wheeler was there providing a screen. You know, the puck comes out to Dubois. He gets it to a little bit of some soft ice and is able to put it past Vasilevsky to give the Jets an absolutely massive 4-3 lead, you know, just under seven and a half minutes into the third period.
Yeah, we talked about the second period. Even though the Jets didn't score on the 5-on-3, they had some good pressure and, you know, you could tell that they were due and, you know, you nailed it, Drew. I mean, Vasilevsky obviously, you know, wanted to have that one back, but he was just giving up so many juicy rebounds all night long. And, you know, Pierre-Luc Dubois drew the penalty there. And I just thought it was, you know, fitting that he finished that one off. And Josh Morrissey, I thought, had a really strong game. I mean, it just continues a really strong season that he's having. Kyle Connor was really strong as well tonight. And, you know, the Jets power play, I mean, I think the power play has been criticized a lot, rightly so, sometimes for not shooting the puck enough or for not finishing. But, you know, this is the best I've seen the power play look in a long time. And you mentioned it, Blake Wheeler, a bit of a, you know, traffic there in front of Vasilevsky. So just overall, just a well-earned goal there, I thought. Like, it was just quick decision-making and just kind of having that kind of killer instinct. So it was a massive goal because you got the feeling that, you know, the Jets had all the momentum even before that goal, but especially after it.
You're absolutely right. I mean, the Lightning had a couple of power play opportunities in the third period, and the Jets came up big. And there was that one big save, as Dave mentioned earlier, that Hellebuck made off Steven Stamkos, where it was sort of, it was eerily similar to a couple of the saves that Vasilevsky had made off of Scheifele and Connor, where he's able to go post to post very quickly there. And it's huge for the Jets that he's able to keep that out, because the Jets get that shorthanded goal with Brendan Dillon in the box. With Brendan Dillon in the box for hooking, you know, Mikhail Sergachev blows a tire and it springs Kyle Connor. It was Sergachev. It wasn't Kucherov. It was Sergachev. I thought it was Kucherov at first, but I went back and I'm pretty certain. I mean, again, people can tell me that if I'm wrong, but I went back and I thought it was Kucherov at first, but I'm pretty sure it ended up being Sergachev. He blows a tire. Somebody on the Lightning blows a tire. One of their 90 players blows a tire. Doesn't matter which one, because Kyle Connor comes in, 81 comes in, and boy, oh boy, does he put a move on Andre Vasilevsky that really demonstrates the wondrous hands that the Jets' leading goal scorer has, his 34th of the year unassisted.
Yeah, that was a – go ahead, Dave.
No, I was just going to say, like, it's just, you know, our photographer, Alexander James, was – or Alex James, as we usually call him, but he was in the building and he had a great spot. He was in the camera hole right beside Vasilevsky. So he snagged some great shots, and Kyle Connor's hands are just ridiculous. I mean, the quest for 50 remains for that guy. And I mean, look, he's going to hit 40, no question. He right now, his trajectory has him around 48 on the season, but I mean, he made Vasilevsky look not silly, but I mean, he made him look ordinary. I mean, this is a Vezina goaltender who Kyle Connor just made look ordinary. He went from speed to deception in like the blink of an eye, and then scores just a spectacular goal. So, I mean, the season, as he talked about earlier, the season he's having, I mean, I want to say we've talked about it pretty much every single show, simply because he's done something almost every game. And like Pierre-Luc Dubois said the other day, even when he doesn't score, he gets five or six chances. Well, he must have had three or four at least quality grade A chances, I thought, in tonight's game. And yeah, he finished that one off as a no-doubter. And that's his 31st game-winning goal of his career. So he's just a phenomenal talent. And I mean, his assist today was the 150th of his career. So, I mean, he's got 165 goals and 150 assists. The guy can get it done.
Yeah, so you're saying there's some pretty good production coming from the Jets' former first-round pick. No question about it. I like the aggressive move by John Cooper to pull the goalie. He does it early, you know, relatively early in the third period with the Lightning down 5-3 at that point in time. You know, we criticized Dave Lowry for when he pulled the Jets goalie on Sunday against the Rangers, and that it was more, you know, performative than it was really effective. This could have resulted in good things for the Lightning. As it happens, it doesn't. It results in Josh Morrissey's 7th of the year assist to Scheifele and Wheeler. It's into an empty net after some real hard work there by Wheeler and Scheifele to let Morrissey walk in all alone. It's not typically, you know, this is a 4-on-4 situation with both Sorelli and Pionk in the box. And so you don't normally expect to see, you know, Scheifele and Wheeler in a defensive situation with the goalie pulled in a 5-on-4, but credit to them both for their efforts in getting Morrissey wide open to put the puck into the net.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that basically sealed it, and they needed that goal because Ross Colton obviously made it a little bit more interesting. But yeah, I like the aggressive, you know, nature of pulling your goalie a little bit early at that point in the game. Like, what do you have to lose, right? Like, you're already down a couple goals. So I think you're better off pulling your goalie at that point than waiting until whatever, 3 minutes, 2 minutes left.
Exactly right, Eze. Totally agree with that. You mentioned Ross Colton, beautiful tip. That's the only goal that gets past Connor Hellebuck in the final 40 minutes, which is certainly a good sign that the Jets and their goaltender were able to shut things down against the high-flying, high-powered Tampa Bay Lightning team. And Paul Stastny finishes off the goal scoring at the 17:29 mark, his 17th assist to Wheeler and Scheifele, wrapping up a 4-point night for Mark Scheifele. So nothing wrong with him getting some points on the ledger tonight. You know, effective night from him. Blake Wheeler with two assists, and Paul Stastny, of course, as we mentioned, Stastny getting his two goals. So that line combining for 8 points in what ultimately was a 7-4 Winnipeg Jets victory tonight in downtown before they head out on the road trip. We'll talk about the road trip. We'll talk about much more about tonight's game after the break. This was the game recap. It's brought to you by our friends at Betway. Head on over to Betway and bet your way. Must be 19 years or older to play. Please play responsibly. Don't go anywhere. I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Dave M is in the top corner as he's in the bottom middle. It's the Illegal Curve post-game show. Much more to come after these commercial messages.
Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett, the biggest acts and all the up-and-comers. They've all made their mark at Rumors Comedy Club, North America's longest-running independent comedy club. Rumors has kept Winnipeg laughing for over 25 years. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends or book your office or birthday party, even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
He winds up. Oh, looks like Ezzy took that one right in the choppers.
A blistering fast puck hurts like H-E double hockey sticks. That's why I let the pros at Linden Market Dental Center turn my yow into
wow.
Get your brilliant smile back with state-of-the-art restorative and cosmetic dentistry from real pros.
And remember, always wear a mouth guard.
Now that's solid on ice advice. Learn more at LindenMarketDentalCenter.com. Creating smiles for life.
Whoa, Ezzy, everything okay? You look stressed.
Of course I'm stressed. We're moving, the house is upside down, the kids failed miserably at packing the fine china, and my life is in chaos. Chaos!
Yes, that does sound like a problem.
What am I going to do?
Ezzy, relax. Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage is the answer. With 60 years of experience in moving Manitobans and a track record of exemplary customer service, one call to Rollies and your stress is gone. No job is too big or too small. Just visit Rollies.com and they will take it from there.
Thanks, Dave. And thank you, Rollies Transfer Moving and Storage, online at Rollies.com.
Hey boys, finding parking on game day shouldn't take longer than the Manuk minute.
It shouldn't take longer than 1 minute?
Yeah, less than a minute? I spend at least 20 driving around to find street parking. Or if I'm in a rush to the game, I'll shovel out 20 at a parkade.
You're both doing it wrong. There's this app called GridPark. It lets you find and pre-book your parking spot on game days. And you can reserve your spot up to 1 month in advance. And guess how much you'll pay?
Tell me, Dave. You know I love a deal.
Ezzy, $5.
Come on, $5?
Yeah, and it's just 2 blocks from the arena.
The GridPark app?
Yep, spelled G-R-Y-D Park. And you know what else?
There's more?
Our listeners get their first park free with the code FIRSTPARK.
Wow, so they just download the GridPark app and pre-book their next game day spot for free?
Yeah, you got it, Ez. Promo code FIRSTPARK, only on the GridPark app.
Hi, it's Drew from Illegal Curve here. Selling your home can be stressful, but it wasn't for me. Thanks to my friends at Zappia Group Realty, they made the process so easy. My home sold within 48 hours and with multiple offers. Zappia Group Realty took care of everything with their exquisite customer service and attention to detail. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, get started by talking to Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty. Online at zappiagroup.com.
For three generations and over 80 years, Tough Duck has been making apparel that works and plays as hard as the people who wear it. From jackets to work boots and everything in between, Tough Duck's clothing can handle the harshest environments, even the Illegal Curve hockey show. Work to live, live to play. Visit toughduck.com. Tuesday night, 10:15 p.m. Hope you're having a good one. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Drew Mandel, Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsberg with you, talking about the Jets' 7-4 victory over the Tampa Bay Lightning in tonight's contest. A very important Winnipeg Jets victory. 5 out of 8 points on the homestand. Could have been 6. especially given how the game against the Dallas Stars ended. But 5 out of 8 is certainly better than the 3 out of 8 that I think a lot of people would have predicted prior to puck drop tonight. A note from our friends at Stats Center, that of course being TSN, Mark Scheifele has passed Alex Zhamnov and moved into a tie with Laurie Boschman for the most career 4+ point games in Winnipeg NHL history. So there you go. That's a little bit of a random stat that you can use to impress the folks at the office tomorrow morning. And when they ask, hey, where'd you find that out? You don't have to give credit to Stats Center. You got to give credit to the Illegal Curve post-game show. That's how you do it here. You can say that, you know, I heard it on the Illegal Curve post-game show and they quoted Stats Center, but you make sure that people know that the place to be after each and every Winnipeg Jets game, of course, is the Illegal Curve post-game show. Jets head to New Jersey now, and then the Islanders on Friday, and then St. Louis on Sunday. Eric Comrie revenge game on Thursday. It traditionally wouldn't be his game, given that the backup usually plays the second half of the back-to-back. So how do you think the goaltending situation plays out? They wouldn't run, I mean, would they run Hellebuck Thursday, Friday, and give Comrie Sunday in St. Louis after he had success there? I mean, Dave, you're shaking your head. It's just food for thought.
It's food for thought, but I wouldn't wager an Illegal Curve sandwich at Bernstein's Deli on it. Let's put it that way. I think that it was funny because Dave Lowry was asked about Connor Hellebuck and talking about whether he's overworked, and that was in today's media availability. And Dave Lowry looked, I believe it was at Mike McIntyre of the Winnipeg Free Press, and said, look, he had a day off yesterday. Wasn't on the ice. So he'll be fresh and he'll be ready to go today. So Connor Hellebuck looked good. He looked like he was fresh. I don't think they're going to run him back-to-back. I think that'd be lunacy. I don't think it makes a lot of sense. I think the only question is, how are you going to do it? Because New Jersey has been playing better, like we talked about. They came back from a 3-goal deficit to beat Colorado, who doesn't look like they get – that happens very often, to beat them 5-3. So maybe you give Hellebuck – and it's also critical to get the road trip started off on a good foot. Not to say that Eric Comrie isn't capable of doing that. He's coming whenever he plays, he'll have won his last four starts. So we know he's feeling good about his game. But you give him the shot against his old team versus giving Hellebuck the first game and then giving Comrie the second. That part I'm not certain about, but I don't think there's any question. You have to give Eric Comrie one of these two games.
I was just going to say, Ezzy, that Hellebuck, when he's played that second half of the back-to-back this year, has incredible numbers. Mm-hmm. I remember we talked about it after the win in Nashville. That Saturday night victory in Nashville a few weeks ago, where Hellebuck played on the Friday and the Saturday. I think they lost to Dallas on the Friday, and then they went to Nashville and they won that game in Nashville. Hellebuck on the second half of back-to-backs this year has been incredible, Ezzy. Just wanted to mention that before you share your thoughts on this idea.
No, I think it's a good point. And there aren't many goalies in the league that you would even consider doing that, right? Like Vasilevsky is one of them. Vasilevsky plays a lot of hockey, as you guys know. So it's always a possibility that Hellebuck starts both starts. But I'm with Dave. I think, you know, there's a good chance Comrie will play against the Devils on Thursday night. And, you know, I think part of that has to do with the fact that he hasn't played since the game against Arizona at the end of the month, right? So it's going to be roughly, you know, 2 weeks, I guess. If you add up the days. So it's been a while since Comrie's got a start. So you could argue, like, what's an extra couple days, right? But I think they want to get him into one of these games. And as Dave mentioned, he's won 4 in a row. So they have a lot of confidence in Comrie. I don't think you're at all afraid of the Devils. And look, I'm a Devils fan, guys, and they have been playing a little bit better, even though they're meaningless games. But these guys are, you know, playing really for next year, if you think about it, in terms of just wanting to finish the season strong, right? So I do think that Comrie is going to get one of these two starts, and I do think it's going to be on Thursday night. But hey, look, at in a year in which, you know, the Jets have had to rely on Hellebuck maybe a little bit more than we thought they would. Like, we knew, you know, Hellebuck was going to play somewhere around, I guess, 60 to 65 games. But I think considering how much he's played as of late, I think there's just a stronger chance that, you know, Comrie will get in there tomorrow night. Pardon me, Thursday night.
It'll be certainly an interesting game. 6 o'clock puck drop for the Jets and the Devils, which makes post game on Thursday right around 8:45 p.m. And then on Friday, it's a 6:30 puck drop on Long Island with post game right around 9:15. So, you know, it's been a you got a busy stretch of IC coming up. We got Friday's post, we got Thursday's post game, Friday's post game, Saturday morning show, and then Sunday's post game. So you'll certainly have your fill of us over the next 4 or 5 days, and we wouldn't have it any other way. Spending quality time with you, our loyal audience. Ezra, Tough Duck, hardest hitting comment. Who's winning a toque from our friends at Tough Duck tonight?
We're going to give it to Jeff Johnson, Drew. He's had some good comments tonight. Haven't seen, you know, Jeff a lot in the Legal Curve postgame shows, but, you know, if he is a new viewer, then awesome. If he's been here before, then I apologize. You've got it up there on the screen. Beating the two-time Stanley Cup champs is nice, capitalized by going to the net and pouncing on rebounds and screens of Vasilevsky. Still need to cut down on turnovers, which resulted in 3 of Tampa goal. I just like how he broke down the game. That really was the story of the game, right? Like, all 3 goals were turnovers, and, you know, Vasilevsky was not very good. He gave up way too many rebounds. And the Jets, you know, we've kind of made fun of the whole, you know, got to go to the net, got to get pucks on net. It's such a cliche, but, you know, tonight they did, right? Like, the goals tonight for the Jets were, with the exception of Dave talked about Connor's goal. I mean, Connor's goal was beautiful. The other ones were not really. Like, I mean, they were all rebounds and you know, just going to the net, going strong to the net, right? So I like that recap. So Jeff, send me an email, Ezra@illegalcurve.com. Send me your mailing address, or you can actually slide into my DMs, ICSEG on Twitter, and we will ship out a toque for you.
There you go. Congratulations to Jeff Johnson. He's always here. He only comments sometimes. Tonight it paid off for Jeff to comment, as he is the winner of our Tough Duck hardest hitting comment. So Ezzy, Jeff, get in touch with Ezzy either via email, Ezra@illegalcurve.com, or on Twitter into his DMs with your mailing address. As we mentioned, the Jets, they get a little bit closer to the playoffs. They get a point closer than they were at the beginning of the night. 7 points now back of Dallas after the Predators leapfrogged Dallas for the second play into the first wild card spot. So I guess the Jets, their preference would have been to have Dallas win that game, and the Jets would have only been 6 points out of the playoffs. But out of their control, and in any event, at least 1 point closer to scratching and clawing and the long shot that it might be, they still have a pulse tonight. And with a huge number of games up ahead for the Jets starting Thursday night in New Jersey.
Yeah, and, you know, we talked about the Devils are playing better as of late, and obviously the Islanders are not going to make the playoffs either, but they're always a tough team to play. Mm-hmm. But if you think about it, guys, right, like we talked about St. Louis, who the Jets have had success against this year, but after the games against the Devils and the Islanders, 4 of those next 5 are against teams that are currently in the playoffs, right? So you're talking about Boston, you're talking about Vegas twice, right? So,
yeah.
I mean, the Devils-Islanders games, what I'm saying is that's the easy part of, you know, the next couple weeks, right? So,
yeah.
I mean, you have to win. You have to, at the very least, get 3 of 4 points in order for that to be successful, and it's not going to be easy, but you know, they won this game tonight, and that's going to allow them. I mean, this really could have been a killer, right? Like you talked about, you're within 7. I mean, if you were 9 points behind the second wild card spot, I mean,
yeah,
just shows you how close it is in the West and how important every single point is. So even though you lost a point to Dallas, and obviously, you know, the Rangers came in and smoked you the other night, I mean, this is a huge victory, and we'll see if, you know, they can, you know, rally behind it. I mean, this can be something, you know, and again, we're trying to be, you know, glass half full, as opposed to being, as people were calling you, Drew, negative Nelly. Like, you know, it's something that you can build off, as opposed to, you know, you go into those back-to-back games in New Jersey against the Islanders. If you lose 3 of 4 games at home, I mean, you're done. Put a fork in the Jets.
It's still a very, very significant long shot, as Freaky Fresh and a number of the people in the chat are reminding us that the Jets, with tonight's victory, moved up to 7% chance of making the playoffs. So
you're saying there's a chance.
There you go. Thank you for quoting it. I was going to quote it myself, but so you're saying there's a chance. Indeed, indeed, Dave Manuk, final thought to you regarding tonight's contest.
Well, I'm going to pivot, actually.
Moose.
No? Well, oh. maybe a little bit. Yeah, I mean, people are asking about David Gustafson and whether he would be recalled, but folks have to remember that right now the Jets are in what we call cap hell. They have $282,000 of cap space. Now, while that would be enough to sign Ezzy, Drew, and I, maybe, but the truth is that's not enough to make a recall right now. Nate Beaulieu doesn't sound like he's going to be out, like available anytime soon. So they'll most likely, I would imagine, put him on LTIR at some point, you know, probably tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And then what they'll do is they'll have to recall a defenseman. So David Gustin's going to be with the Moose most likely. My guess would be Ville Heinola will be earning the recall up to the Jets. It may be Dalen Sandberg, but I would think they may, because of his injury, keep him playing with Manitoba and instead give Ville Heinola the recall. So just an answer, because a lot of people have been asking about Gustafson and whether he'll be recalled. I wouldn't want Gustafson to be recalled anyways, because the way Dave Lowry plays his fourth line, which is not very often, and the way these guys are hesitant to use younger players in a penalty killing role. My suspicion, again, depending on what the Jets do after the trade deadline, is that's when you want to see David Gustafson recalled, because if indeed Andrew Kopp does get dealt, or Paul Stasi does get dealt, then you maybe get a little more elevated role, especially David Gustafson beside Adam Lowry. Again, I'm not saying it's not going to be any drop-off from Andrew Kopp, but it won't be as significant as folks think. So I think you'll have to wait till after the 21st. I could be wrong, but I think you'll have to wait till after the 21st to see David Gustafson. However, you won't have to wait till the 21st to see David Gustafson, because we have Moose tickets to give away. I was originally had already given away 4 tickets for the weekend. This is the final 2 games of a 9-game homestand, and they're playing Belleville Senators this weekend, Friday and Saturday. However, I added 4 tickets to the old ticket depository for Illegal Curve today.
Dave left the ticket making machine on all night. He's got tickets that gotta go. It's crazy. Dave's taking Emporium.
So I would just suggest that if anybody wants to go, there's 4 tickets, not in the usual spot right by the glass, still in section 118 behind the visitors, kind of higher up, so you'll have a nice view. Real good seats still. So and again, like I said, you don't have to ask for all 4. If you want to, I'll take all 4, and you want to take your family, you're welcome to. But you can also go as individuals or as pairs, maybe even a threesome, whatever you want, and then leave that first, third, fourth ticket for someone else. I don't really care.
Ménage à trois.
Exactly, Ezzy. So I think what we, if anybody wants, send me an email, dave@illegalcurve.com. Or
Kodak Black Manuk over here talking about Ménage à trois at hockey games.
That was Ginsburg, for the record. Although I will mention,
Dave, that you said threesome, okay? Like you, I could see the hamster, you know, spinning on the wheel in Drew's head. So I knew one of us was going to jump in there.
All right, fair enough. Although I will say, and I'm sure they didn't show it on the broadcast, but it was rather funny during the I think the first period, they panned to the crowd and they showed these two women were just. First of all, I don't know why they panned to them, because they're not wearing masks. So I just thought to myself, like, they weren't wearing their masks, and I don't really care. But like, it was just kind of funny because they're still telling people to adhere to it. And then so the masks are down here and these two women are just like, hey, we're on camera. And I'm like, OK. And then they started making out. And then you just see the camera go, what? Yeah. Sorry, you said Ménage à trois. I just added that little Illegal Curve just went a little bit dark there. But anyways, it was not as entertaining, though.
Are you sure you weren't watching DirecTV channel 597 back in the day there, Dave M?
Perhaps. The other thing I want to give the Jets a shout out to, they did a different sort of first intermission contest. I put it up on the Illegal Curve Instagram account. It was kind of like, you know, how the Atlanta Braves have chase, how Freeze runs after the fan. The fan has a head start.
Yeah.
Somewhat similar, but it was kind of, they called it Jet, not Freeze, of course. And then basically it was a speed test, and they have a kid who comes around, skates around, does 2 laps, and then Freeze has to beat his time. It was entertaining.
There you go. As long as Dave M's entertained.
I was entertained.
There you go. That's all that matters. As long as you're entertained, then we're happy about that.
So much more entertaining than the Wave, right, Dave?
Oh, hate the Wave.
We know that. If you
number want one Wave, number 2 glass bangers, as he knows what I'm talking about.
If you want to go to the Moose games this weekend, send Dave an email, dave@illegalcurve.com. You can tweet him.
He'll go back to the ticket suppository, as someone pointed out, not the depository, the suppository.
I think it's time to wrap up this post-game show when we're onto this nonsense. Usually that's a good sign. To wrap it, we've got to say a big thank you to all of our sponsors of this show, of the Saturday show, of the website. They make it all a possibility. Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Zappia Group Realty, Betway, of course, our newest sponsor, Bernstein's Deli, Tough Duck, Boston Pizza, Seagram's, Rolly's Transfer, and Grid Park. Support these fine businesses because of their continued support of Illegal Curve Hockey. We're next in action on Thursday night, right around 8:45 p.m. after the Jets and the Devils. If you haven't already done so, smash the like button, subscribe to the YouTube channel, subscribe to the podcast, tell your friends, tell your family members. The best place to be.
After hide your kids, every, hide your wife.
After each and every Winnipeg Jets game. The best place to be after each and every Winnipeg Jets game is the Illegal Curve postgame show as well, Saturday mornings on the Illegal Curve YouTube channel. Thanks to everybody for joining us. Great chat tonight. Always appreciate the love and support. For Dave M., for Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. This has been the Illegal Curve postgame show.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow at Illegal Curve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, illegalcurve.com.